I read a lot of feeling as you read it, a lot of her beach net, or I've seen. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by rejuvenating your brain with radio waves. Not quite enough to cook your brain like a microwave. But yeah, man, it's all good. Are you there, Ben Stone?
Enough to make it warm and fuzzy. Yeah, I'm here.
Well, Freedom Fiends, making your brain warm and fuzzy since 2011. So, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker from badquaker.com. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing very well. Loving the South.
Should we still be sending you people to badquaker.com, or are you retiring that and having Sean Duvalli put it all up on the torrents?
Yes, 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 and yes. We will be retiring it. We still have a couple more episodes to go. We're going to get Bill Buford over there, and we're going to do a couple of what I call a bookend podcast that'll kind of wrap everything up and you know, put a redemption in the last last segment, kind of a thing. And after that, yeah, we will be archiving it. We have a couple different methods we're going to be using, and Sean has jumped up to take the lead on that. And also our friend Christian has a really interesting idea that we're going to probably pursue with that as well.
What's that idea? Or is it secret internet stuff?
It's not secret. It is a product that he's familiar with, but it's far beyond my brain's ability to grasp at this point. But he and I are supposed to talk about it soon, and maybe he can teach me to understand how it works or whatever. But at this point, to me, it's a mystery.
Sounds good, man. And you are coming in over Fiendphone, but people notice you don't sound as good as the other hosts on Fiendphone. That's because you're going over wireless internet. You're out solving mysteries in a van, and you got 4G, which is not the same as a wired network. Even if it's the same bandwidth, it's not the same because you have more frame loss and ping time and latency and things like that, so it ends up sounding a little crunchier. But you still sound better than you did over Skype coming over 4G. I got to say that, Ben.
Yeah, definitely. Skype had all those weird mechanical sounds and would cut in and out and drop you. And plus, we had to restart Skype every half an hour, every hour or so, just to keep it from flaking out on us.
Yeah, that's not required with Fiendphone. You can go to fiendphone.com. That's FEENPHONE.com. And yeah, man, people should donate, too, because everybody says, software shouldn't cost money. Everything should be free. And people shouldn't send government guns after people for copying their software. So Fiendphone is open source. So there's no government guns. Anybody can copy it and do whatever they want with it. But we do need more money to pay our developer to improve it, so it's ready for prime time. It's in beta now. So if you are one of these anti-IP people like myself, put your money where your mouth is and go to fiendphone.com and make a donation through the Indiegogo or through the Bitcoins, and you can help build the roads, and you'll get your name in the software.
You know, I mentioned this last week when we talked, too, about Fiendphone, that any particular program you look at is kind of like a mountain. You know, you see the trees on the top, you see the rocks on the surface, maybe you see grass or other plants and squirrels running around or whatever. But just by looking at a mountain, you cannot grasp the amount of stuff that's under the surface that makes up that mountain. And a program is very much like that.
Yeah.
You know, we see the buttons on the surface, we see the features that it does, and we think, oh, well, it's just this. If we just had a button that did that or whatever. But there are mounds and mounds and mounds and hours and hours and hours of work to put all that stuff underneath that mountain that you don't see so that you can just walk on it and look at the birds and the squirrels.
Yeah. A description I've heard of it that I've borrowed from a description of an explanation that I've heard that I really like, I adopted it from a description of screenwriting, is I say that software is poetry over math, and if it's done right, you don't see the math. You know, you just see the function that improves your life vastly. And Fiendphone is like that, but it's still in beta, and we want to get it ready for prime time so anybody can use it. And that does take money. My programmer, I'm paying him. He's doing it a lot cheaper than, you know, hiring someone I didn't know who wasn't into Freedom. This guy, Derek Slope, he's very into Freedom. He listens to every Freedom Fiends. He listens to LRN in the background, you know, the same way that, like, a liberal would listen to NPR. I mean, it's kind of his background soundtrack of his life. But, yeah, we got to pay him. So if you want to improve, I mean, this thing's groundbreaking. It does something that's never been done. It does really high quality audio in two directions, true duplex. You know, we could both talk over each other. You can't do that on Skype. One person cuts the other out. Go ahead and talk with me, Ben. So Ben and I are talking
the wonderful thing about it too,
not
is
cutting
that
the other person
not
out.
Owned
you can hear
by
both
a giant
at the same
company.
Time, and it's not owned by a giant company. Yeah, you can't do that on Skype. And it actually makes conversation more conversational. So we've done a holy grail thing here, and it's not just for podcasters and radio people. I mean, this could be used for, like, you know, talking to your grandmother who's hearing impaired, who can't hear you very well over Skype. She'd hear you better over Fiend Phone. It could be used for dubbing movies remotely with, you know, foreign language with somebody in a different country. There's all sorts of uses for this, so it will change the world. Get in now and donate a little money so you can have your name early on in the credits. It's not tax deductible, but go to fiendphone.com. But yeah, I'm already encountering this thing that happens whenever we do some software, is people who, it's great that people are anti-intellectual property. I think that, you know, you can't copyright idea. You shouldn't be able to keep other people from using ideas without paying you. You know, ideas are out there, but people have to eat and they have to be compensated for their work. And I've made no money so far on Fiendphone. I've given it all to Derek, and there's a lot more work to do to make it perfect. But it's interesting how people take anti-intellectual property ideas to the point of almost socialism. Like, I deserve free software. Give it to me now. And here's the thing. Like, every time we put out something, like, Derek's a Windows programmer. I tried to interest Linux programmers and Mac and Apple programmers into working on this on no money up front. The only person I could find was the best person to find, who was Derek, who was a Windows programmer. He's not a Linux programmer. He's not a Mac programmer. He's not an Android programmer. He is making it totally kick butt on Windows. And the thing is, once he's done doing all that, and our source is open code, people can use it and look at it now. You know, we're working out all the bugs of this new technology of doing full duplex, you know, audio in high quality in real time for free. And Derek, you know, Derek's doing it and working all the bugs out in Windows. Once that's done, anybody who's a Linux programmer or Apple programmer or Android programmer can take his code, look at the functionality of it, and work really hard to make it work on those other systems. But I'm immediately getting all these comments like, oh, Linux is for freedom people, Windows is for squares. You know, you're doing it wrong because you're doing it on Windows. Or, you know, people being really pushy and demanding, like, I'm on Macintosh, as all good people are. Why aren't you making this for Windows right now or for Macintosh right now? Here's the thing. Making a program from scratch is incredibly difficult and complicated, and we're solving a bunch of problems that have never been solved before, especially for free software. It's not, people must have this vision. People who, you know, only see the trees and don't see the minerals under the mountain with software must have this idea that in the Windows programming software, there's a button that says output Linux version. It's not like that, man. It's not like that at all. And first of all, anybody who says Linux is better than Windows, which in some ways it is, but it's kind of like, really, if you're a Linux guy and you really understand why Linux is better than Windows, you shouldn't be complaining. Make a Linux version. If you're a real Linux person, you'd just be writing the Linux version. You know, that's what I have to say about that. And anybody who thinks Macintoshes are, you know, Apples are better than PCs are basing that, they're parroting that. They're basing that on something from like 20 years ago. Really, there's no reason that you could actually say that Apple is better than PC right now, than Windows. Windows has developed to the point where it's better and cheaper than Apple at everything. The only thing Apple's better at is marketing and making shiny cases that look sexy for their devices. And if you want to pay more for that, to run an operating system that there's less software available for, feel free. And if you say you're better than other people because you're using something that not many people are using, that's not better, you're just parroting marketing. You're just being, it's funny because people talk like, oh, Microsoft is a big evil corporation. I use Apple's because Apple is an equally big corporation that is equally involved in patent litigation and intellectual property and copyright litigation and locking things, and even more so than Windows, locking you into their system. Microsoft has actually been embracing open source more and releasing things open source and allowing people to open source some of their products. And here's the other thing. People say like, oh, well, Microsoft has all sorts of backdoors and security vulnerabilities. Derek has told me, and I'm going to get him on here at some point to explain this better. He has said that at this point, Windows is more secure than most Linux distributions. And I said, yeah, well, that's true, probably except for the NSA backdoors. And he said, those are in Linux too now.
Wow. So, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so that's coming from a guy who programs code and analyzes computer code all day, every day, as part of his day job, as well as, you know, part of, and he has no worship of Microsoft. You know, he just understands the underlying stuff. I mean, he's the guy that was at Porkfest wearing the t-shirt that had the Google logo. It said Skynet, but it was in the Google logo type. So, you know, he's no fan of like, you know, giant corporations, but he's a fan of tools that empower people. And, you know, he's telling me that Windows is more secure than Linux or Mac at this point, and that Linux probably contains the same NSA backdoors that people say Windows does. So, and he also says that Microsoft is really good for working with developers. You know, they're not going to yell at you and say, oh, you're doing it wrong, like a lot of Linux programmers. You know, really a lot of the like Linux or Mac over PC stuff is just parroting things. And Linux is completely open source, but, you know, it doesn't really have a, it's an advantage that it doesn't really have a central organizer of it, but it's also a disadvantage. So
since we're beating up Apple people, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It's kind of like people who think all electric cars are pollution free and they don't think about where that electricity comes from or how it gets to them.
It also reminds me of Democrat versus Republican, you know, and I guess that'd be PC and Mac, and in that Linux it'd be libertarian, but not quite.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. 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 Weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Fiend phoning it in over the miles. So before the break, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and I being Michael W. Dean from the Fiend Phone team at fiendphone.com, we're talking about people complaining about software not being immediately available for their operating system that their mommy got them on their new computer. So,
Freedom Fiends, stomping on toes since 2011.
Yeah, that's really should be our logo. I like kicking the hornet's nest. Maybe that'll be the tagline. Kicking the hornet's nest since 2011. So we are talking about...
You know, let me comment on that too, because I think so many times we have, you know, called out some holy person in the liberty movement or whatever, and we've pointed out a name or we've said, you know, some practice or some theory or whatever, and we've shot it down, or we talked about the state and we talked about government and we've shot that down. And oftentimes these things are offensive to some people, but that's kind of what we do. I mean, we, you know, one of the taglines is laughing. What is it? Laughing is Western society.
Laughing while Western civilization collapses.
Yeah. And, you know, you kind of have to laugh. You kind of have to get a good attitude about it. Otherwise, it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah. And I also think you need to criticize things that are being done badly or wrong or in a counterproductive way, even in your own pond, even in Liberty. Because if you let everybody get away with everything, you know, there's a saying, actually, I've heard this in AA, and we're going to talk about the 12 steps today. Today is part two of our 12-part series on applying the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous to the state, to state the disease of statism, the addiction to the state that people have, and applying it to people in Liberty being addicted to bad ideas and bad people, and to the idea of just being addicted to bad people in general. And we did a whole
series. Sort of life in general.
Yeah, and we didn't really set out plan to do this, but last week we did a segment that a lot of people, we did a show that a lot of people liked. It was basically, it turned out, we didn't even start out this way. We just mentioned the first step of AA, you know, admitting you're powerless and your life has become unmanageable. We applied that to statism and to addiction to people and addiction to bad ideas, or, you know, reliance on and defending bad ideas like you're defending your mother. And we talked about, you know, neuro-linguistic programming and how people do cold reading and fleece people out of their money, what televangelists do to get grandma, you know, giving her social security check to them so they can, you know, buy more private jets and Rolls Royces and, you know, $5,000 suits while they're doing crystal meth, you know, with underage boys and having sex with them. And, we got a lot of feedback of people like, you know, mad at us, like, and we were talking about like a particular person in Liberty who's a, you know, Canadian philosopher, quote unquote, philosopher podcaster, you know, who we think has people just wrapped around his finger and is getting the, you know, getting kids in their dorm who are on, you know, limited money allowance to like send him their money when he's got $130,000 in Bitcoin and who knows how much else, you know, and really like being misogynistic and racist. And now it comes out like not even being a libertarian, like backing the state in some arguments. And we think that's a bad idea, but people defend bad ideas to the death. They defend them like they're defending their mother. And we think it is the job of somebody in Liberty, somebody producing daily Liberty media, to occasionally go after that kind of stuff. But people don't like it, man. And I will bring up this thing again of in software development, you know, basically Derek and I have worked full time for a couple months now, in addition to our day jobs, on developing this Fiend Phone software and getting it out in the world and, you know, getting it to where it works. And Ben's using it right now over a 4G network and sounding better than he does on Skype. And the immediate comment, like the day it came out, there were comments on the website, you know, make a Mac version, or Windows isn't for free people. You should be using Linux. Like, that's basically like saying you wrote a great novel in English, but the true language of poetry is French. You should have written this in French. Not will someone eventually translate this into French. Yes, someone will eventually make the Linux version of this after we get it perfect on Windows. But, you know, they're basically saying, no, you need to learn French and start your novel over in French. You know, that's basically what they're saying. They're basically saying, well, thank you for building me this beautiful blue house for me to live in, but I want a red house. Here's the thing, man. Fiend Phone is such a killer app. You should go buy a $100 used laptop on eBay that runs Windows 7 or Windows 8. It's enough of a killer app that if you're doing radio and podcasting, you should just go spend $100 and buy a computer, or send us $100 and we'll perfect it and eventually someone will make a Linux or Mac version of it. So there.
And I mentioned before the break that it's very much like people, and here's another one. We'll go away to the market and maybe we'll come back to that later.
Words.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Now that the elections are over and Liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, A longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. This is the Freedom Fiends, the hardest working show in Liberty Radio. Probably the lowest paid and hardest working at the same time. People like us a lot, but seems like people without a lot of money like us. So if you've never donated to the Freedom Fiends, or if you have and you ever think of making a donation to the Freedom Fiends, a good time now would be to go do it on the Fiend Phone Indiegogo, because it seems like we don't have a lot on there right now, and it seems like we have a lot of interest in the program, but it seems like people who want to donate to something are more likely to donate to something that's already got a bunch of donations. So even if you can donate only, $2 or $5 or $10, go to fiendphone.com, click on the Indiegogo link, and please go donate. Actually, this is kind of weird. I'm actually telling people I'd rather have you donate right now through your credit card with Indiegogo than donate Bitcoin. Usually I'm all about the Bitcoin, but that doesn't show up on the Indiegogo donation. So go make a donation on the Indiegogo. So, Ben, what were you talking about? Whiny people demanding that you make their version of your groundbreaking new life's work software immediately, when really they probably have a computer their mother bought them. They probably didn't research it well. They probably have a bunch of other people using that same operating system. They probably don't know anything about programming, or they would just program a version of it. And they are parroting 20-year-old marketing information that's not necessarily true anymore, whether they're saying Mac is better or Linux is better, and they're demanding that we immediately learn a whole new language to program for them. What do you think about those people?
Yeah, so I was comparing it to these mostly liberals that you'll run into that are so proud about their, they've got their electric car and they're saving the environment and they're so liberal and they're so progressive and they're so self-satisfying with all of what they've done by spending five times as much for an electric car. And all you have to do is say, okay, so when you plug that into the wall, where does that electricity come from? And
coal.
They don't have a clue.
Coal.
They have never thought it through. Yeah, coal. Yeah. Almost all of American electricity is produced by coal,
which is dirtier than gasoline for cars. So literally they're polluting more in most cases.
Plus you have, for every transformer that has to be created, has to be built, it's a scary amount of pollution that has to be created. If you want to know about this, just do a Google search on General Electric and Hudson River and learn about what it takes to make transformers, and it will blow your mind.
Yeah.
So whenever, you just parrot this thing over and over that you've been taught, well, electric cars are pollution free. No, they're not. You're just repeating what you've been told without thinking it through. And oftentimes, whatever the elitist thing is, Mac is better. Is it really? Or are you just repeating what you've been told?
What you've been told by giant corporations who've convinced you of it. And I will say this, almost all liberals, for some reason, use Macintoshes. Like literally every, liberal I've ever met in San Francisco is using a Macintosh. And it's really just parroting, marketing stuff. And it's not a shinier, happier, cooler organization than Microsoft. And I'm not defending Microsoft. I'm just condemning people who say that, the Apple Corporation is better. People are culty about Apple, man. People don't wait in line overnight to get a new PC. And people say that means that Macs are better. No, I say that means that Mac people are more brainwashed. And really, the programmer guy that I know that's in my life, that's a Liberty guy that I'm working with constantly, has told me that he's examined all of the criteria of this, and Windows has better security now than a Windows computer that's updated has better security against intrusion than a Mac or even a Linux box, especially with people who just use Linux and don't really know much about Linux. They just use it because, I can use it now. It's cool. Like the people who've been using Linux since before it had a graphical user interface, those people probably have their Linux boxes more sewn up than the average Windows user. But those are also the people that don't just complain and say, you made Fiend Phone for Windows, you should make it for Linux, because only true Liberty people use Linux. you know, the people that actually have been using Linux since there was a graphical user interface are people who can program for Linux. And actually, we've had some of those people contact us, and instead of saying, Linux, Windows is horrible, they say, I'm interested in developing a Linux version. Can you give me some criteria about, you know, the underlying mechanisms of this? We'll look at the code, but also, you know, tell us a little bit. And we actually have a place on our site that explains, you know, what would need to be done to convert it. You know, you can't just stick it into Wine, which is the window kind of the make Windows run on Linux version button. It would take a little more than that, but Derek has explained that. He understands that. And any Linux or Mac or Android programmers that want to make a version of this should contact us, and we will work with them. And that is far more valuable to the world than saying, you didn't make it for my version. People are acting like liberals when they're doing that. And I've actually seen straight up so-called libertarians or anarcho-capitalists doing that same crap, that same, you didn't make it in my flavor, make it now. That is someone who lives in their mother's basement and does not understand the market.
You know, it goes back to that silly my team, your team nonsense that actually creates the problem with Democrats and Republicans. I see that all the time, you know, with people in regards to sports. We drive around in our motorhome and we have Ohio plates on it because that's where we registered the vehicle when we bought it. And so we're in the South. We're driving around, say, in Alabama. And recently there was a football game between the University of Ohio and one of the Alabama universities. And we had people that would come right up to us and challenge us, like, you think your team's going to beat our team? I'm like, no.
I don't even know who's playing today. Yeah.
Yeah, I am not an Ohio State graduate, and you probably aren't a whatever, you know, graduate from your university. And many of these people are so fanatical about their university's football, their favorite university's football team. But when you talk to them, they may not have even graduated high school, much less, you know, went to that university, which is really strange to have that kind of dedication to something just because you've decided it's your team. It's really bizarre.
It's a really good analogy of one operating system over another is like sports teams. And, you know, I actually own a Linux computer, a computer that has Linux loaded on it, and I actually own an Android device. I don't own any Macintosh, you know, that's the old term for it. I don't own any Apple devices. Oh, I actually do. I have an iPod. So I have all four of those things for different things. I have, you know, I have like three or four Windows computers running my empire. And then I have a Linux computer. You know, it's an old Windows box that I wiped Windows and installed Linux on. A lot of these people that are yelling for a Linux version don't even know how to install or configure Linux themselves. They're like, their friend did it, but their friend told them it's better. But I have a Linux computer that I use for encrypted email. And that's the only thing I use it for. And I don't even use the encrypted email very much because I don't have my keys public because I don't want strangers sending me emails that, you know, I don't want to know things from strangers. So I use encrypted email with four or five friends. I mainly use Pigeon, which is encrypted off the record chat. And really anybody who tells me, oh, I don't want to communicate. I've had people say, I don't want to communicate with you unless you're using encrypted email. You know, and here's my key. And the thing is, that's kind of an old attitude too, because Pigeon is much more secure and much better for communicating than encrypted email, because encrypted email keeps a record, unless you delete the unencrypted email, it keeps a record of your emails on your computer, and all they have to do is beat you with a rubber hose to be able to get your password and decrypt the email. But Pigeon, like literally, I mean, they could beat you with a rubber hose and say, what did you talk about? But if they beat you with a rubber hose and get your password out of you, there's no record. It doesn't save your chats, you know, unlike encrypted email. So people are, people like to parrot things. And a lot of people in Liberty get sucked into this too. And another thing is people thinking that because something's open source, it's good or doesn't have any backdoors in it. Open source basically means anyone can examine the code and vet it. It does not mean someone has.
Yeah, that's a really good point. There could still be a very complicated backdoor installed into that, and in many cases likely is a backdoor installed, because even honest programmers put in backdoors for, you know, for actual reasons.
For testing, yeah.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
There are none. There are none in Fiendphone. I will say that right now. I can examine code. I can't write code, but I can read code well enough to examine it. And there is nothing in it. And Derek Slopey's a good guy. So there.
So our topic today, we were going to talk about our second step, which is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
That's the second step of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we're not pushing AA here. We're using AA as an analogy for other kinds of dependences and other kinds of addiction. Now, read that step again, and I want to make some comments on it.
Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Yeah, it's we came to believe. Is that in that version you have?
The version I have just says came, but it already has we as the beginning of the first step.
Each step. Okay, so read it again with we in there because it's important.
We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Yeah, that does make a lot more sense.
Yeah, and I want to read these exactly for a couple of reasons. One, because it's kind of like law in that if you change one word, it can change the meaning of it, and the meaning is very important. And the other is that people in AA, it's like their constitution. If you get one word wrong, they're going to yell at you. So I don't want to get yelled at by a bunch of sober drunks. And I'm a sober drunk. I'm 20, coming up on 21 years sober. And I went to AA until 2006 and then stopped going and still practice the principles in my life. But I'm not a member of AA, so I'm not breaking my anonymity. I'm not breaking the press, radio, and films tradition of AA by talking about this on here. And we're not really talking about alcoholism. We're talking about recovery from other things, from bad ideas and bad people and bad government, which is all government. So read the step one, before we go to the break, read the step one more time with the we in there, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Yeah, and I'm going to make this work even for agnostics and atheists. You don't have to be a believer in a God to make AA steps work or make sense in your life. And it's a really valuable system for changing your life, you know, without having to join a fight club or something. If you're looking for a way to vastly change your life and get bad things out of your life, the 12 steps can be applied to anything. You know, when I first got on computers, I was amazed that you could like delete text and move it around because I used to write on a typewriter and that's really hard to do. And I was like, wow, you can just like, you know, search this word and change it to another word. And I was like, why can't I do that in my life with bad habits? And I was still a drug addict when I got my first computer and started writing novels on it. And you can, and there's a lot of ways to do it. And one way that's really good is the 12 steps applied to anything. And we're going to talk about applying the 12 steps to people's love of the state and bad ideas after this.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create Fiendphone. I'm using Fiendphone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiendphone.
Fiendphone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of Fiendphone right now at fiendphone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiendphone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's fiendphone.com. FENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Freedom Fiends! So, Ben, what are we doing?
We are rocking and or rolling.
I think I was rocking and or complaining for the first three segments. But, you know, it's really weird when you work your butt off for free to build something that's life-changing to give to the world as a gift to the world and try to, you know, and not even mentioning the try and raise money part, but people immediately saying, you did it wrong. Do it my way. And that's the beauty of open source software is like, no, you can take our source and do it your way, or you can just complain, which, you know, people who aren't programmers generally do. People who are Linux programmers contact us and say, yeah, I want to make it work my way. Can you give me some more information? And we're like, absolutely, brother. So, you know, as usual, the content creators that are really changing the world, you know, whether they're Windows or Linux programmers, generally are interested in playing nice and working with each other. And the content consumers who have come to think that everything in the world should be not only free, but on demand the way they want it, who live in their mother's basements, who act like liberals, even if they're libertarians, demand that you make it in their flavor right now. It's kind of a king baby thing, you know, like sitting on the toilet as your throne, throwing feces and demanding that the world give you all its attention and servitude. Liberals. Liberal libertarians. So we're talking about the second step of AA and applying it to other things, things other than alcohol and drugs. So read this step one more time. I'm going to read it in every segment. Go ahead and read it.
We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people have a problem with this. They have no problem with the first step of admitting they're wrong about something, although really they have a big problem with it and never admit it until it's kicking their butt. But people have a problem with the second step if they're not religious, because they're like, wait, I'm just trying to get off loving the state. I don't want to have to become religious. And there is a section in the AA book called Two Agnostics that addresses this. Although really kind of their conclusion is like, substitute something else as your higher power until you can become a Christian. But I never really took it that way. I really took it as the thing I was told was kind of make the group, like the AA group, be your higher power. And that sounds kind of culty too, but it's really not. It's only in one area of your life. It's basically be willing to take advice from people who've been where you've been and like make the group conscience the higher power rather than, you know, saying you can do it yourself. They say that, you know, insanity is doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. And every alcoholic and addict who's tried to get off, you know, who's realized they have a problem and tried to get off it on their own, they do all kinds of zany things that never really work for very long. They try drinking only on weekends. They try never drinking when they have to get up for work the next day. They try setting aside a certain amount of money to drink. They try moving to a different city. They try not hanging out with these people. Drug addicts will try like, well, I'm not going to do speed anymore. I'm just going to do heroin, or I'm not going to do speed. I'm just going to do pot or whatever. They'll try to substitute one thing. They'll try to like adjust one number in a long bad equation and try to get a different result. And it doesn't work. The result is always zero. You can recover from drugs and alcohol and statism and bad people and bad ideas without becoming religious. If you're already religious, there's no problem with this. It's like you just turn it over to God. If you're not religious, the thing is you just kind of do a substitution of like, well, the higher power. Basically what it is doing it yourself didn't work. So you need help from someone else. You need help from others with good ideas. You need feedback from people, you know, not do what the people say no matter what. And the thing of the idea of a group conscience, it's a thing that's unique to AA. It's kind of different than voting on something. Like they'll have a meeting and they'll just kind of discuss it until they can take a vote and decide on it. You know, it's not forced democracy. It's not tyranny. It's basically like just discussing it until the right answer comes out and most of the people agree on it. And AA is also open source. So if you don't like the way your group's doing it, you can go start another meeting. And I actually did that and started a rock and roll meeting called Lust for Life in San Francisco, an NA meeting that ran for 10 years and helped a lot of people get clean. The saying in AA is, and this applies in Liberty a lot too, and I think the Freedom Fiends have done this, is if you don't, all you need to start a meeting is a resentment and a coffee pot. You know, like anybody can start one. And it was like the whole system of AA, you know, the way it's written with the traditions was open sourced before there was a term open source or before there was software. I mean, this is in the 30s. All right. Yeah. I know about Ada. I know that there was software before computers, but there wasn't really software like we know it now. And we'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends. where, as Scott Horton says, I know more than you about everything. We'll be back to tell you with love when we get back.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza in the Alpha Centauri region. I'm your host, Michael W. Dean. I'm talking to my co-host, du jour, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. So, Ben, did we talk about your brain in the first hour?
We did not. I have one of those.
Have you gone public with the fact that you're losing your mind and that's why you're going to podcast a lot more with me as much as you can and get stuff on record on radio?
I've kind of referred to it. I haven't hidden it in any way. But yeah, that actually is the case. I've had in excess of 35 concussions. And now this always brings up two things, especially when I'm talking to a doctor.
You know, there's a word for that. It's called pugilistic dementia. I learned that last night while watching Law and Order. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Actually, that's what I've been. I have a little card that says I have that.
Oh, for like
I have a metal
alert bracelet that says my brain don't work right.
Yeah, I have a card in my wallet that I'm supposed to hand to a cop with my driver's license so they don't thump me in the head if I say the wrong thing.
It's your get out of thump free card. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work.
But yeah, it is true, though, that I have had in excess of 35 concussions. And when I say that to a doctor specifically, they always pause and look at me and they say, how did you get that many concussions? And I always say something to the effect of, well, doc, that's 35 stories, at least 35 hours. Do you really want to hear it? And then the conversation goes on from there.
Yeah.
But it's just a variety of different things. And it took a long time to diagnose the problems that I was having because they're so disjointed and unconnected to other things. But it is a degenerative illness, and so it will get worse. And I can actually tell that it has gotten significantly worse in the last year or so. It's gotten worse in the last 6 months. And eventually it'll get to the point of where I'll have trouble connecting words with thoughts. which is really frustrating. If you look at somebody like Muhammad Ali, has this. And at first he was diagnosed, he was misdiagnosed as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and all these other things. But as it turns out, you know, his mind is as clear and crisp as it ever was. He just can't express himself. And that's, you know, that's the future. That's what I'm looking at some point in time.
Yeah. And this is one of the reasons, I mean, I have a great respect for your brain and your words and your thoughts and the media that you produce. But this is one of the reasons. There's a couple things that have come out of this, and you've hinted around at this, and I've talked to a few people about it, but I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. Let me know if you want to stop. Do you want to stop? I mean,
No, I'm comfortable.
Okay. This is one of the reasons that you're kind of retiring your own podcast, The Bad Quaker, and you're doing more Freedom Fiends with me because it's easier for you to do that. Like for one of your shows, you have to research it for like 10 hours and then record it and stop it and think about it and record some more and then edit it and upload it. So it takes you like 15 or 18 hours to do 1 hour of media. Whereas to do 2 hours of media with me, it takes you 2 hours. You know, we just talk.
Yeah, because it's conversational. We're just, we're kicking things back and forth and we cross check each other. If I say something stupid or ridiculous, you're going to call me on it and say, now, did you really mean to say that? And then we can, you know, we can kick it around and figure it out. But, when I'm doing it on my own, I don't necessarily catch a mistake that I've made until it goes out and then somebody has to, you know, hear it and then correct me on it. So, this is a lot easier. Plus, with live radio, there is no editing, but anything that you and I are doing, you're taking care of all of the technical end of it. All I have to do is talk.
Well, there is editing later before I put it out on a podcast. I mean, I start the recorder before the music comes in and I stop it after it comes in and I have to cut out the heads and tails on that. And, I do some EQ on it and I do some, normalization on it, and I put the ads in. I put our ads in. You know, I don't play the 5 minutes of radio ads. I play 30 seconds or 1 minute of our ads and encode it really well, better than most people encode, stuff for the internet, and put it up on the internet and work on doing show notes and finding a picture for it and linking all the links so people can go find out the things we talked about. I've got it down to where I do it in about a half hour. Like, literally, you know, if our show ends at our show ends at 1 p.m., you know, weekends, my time, mountain time. And by about 1:30 or 1:35, it's up on the website. But that's from basically editing podcast audio daily since 2006, which is when I started podcasting. And I've been editing audio on computers longer than that. So, and you know, worked in, was in bands that were in recording studios recording on tape before that. So understood kind of how it works, which is why I was able to help make Fiend Phone, because I knew exactly what it needed, you know, and then I could relay it to the programmer. So, I like that I'm saving you brain power, of just having you on here to talk and not have to go do all that other work. But I'm also really dedicated to like having you on here as much as possible, to the point where some of the other co-hosts, I haven't talked to them, they haven't said anything, but some of them might even be like, hey man, we're not getting as much time as we have, but let that slide if co-hosts are feeling that way, or if audience members are feeling that way, because literally there's a ticking clock on Ben's brain, and I'm trying to get as much of him down on tape, as much of him down on hard drive and out in the world as possible before, you know, and I'm your really good friend to the point where, if you get to the point where I think that's happening, I'm going to say, hey, I don't think we should have it on the show anymore. And you've said you'd be fine with that, right?
Oh, yeah. I expect that day. And when it comes, I know that a good friend will be honest with me and tell me that. And I know Michael is my good friend. And he would be honest with me and say, look, you've done great work. Thanks a lot. But you're slipping and we just can't continue. When that time comes, you know, that's just how it goes. I'm very realistic about these things.
Yeah. You don't want to be one of these doddering old talk show hosts. There are literally, there are a handful, like four or five talk show hosts, usually conservative, sometimes general interest, or maybe one of them's liberal, on radio. They're not necessarily syndicated. They might just be on like one station, but a lot of them, there's some that are like, we're pioneers of talk radio going back to the early 70s or mid or late 70s, before talk radio was kind of a thing, like before Rush Limbaugh, 25 years ago, Rush Limbaugh started on radio, and he kind of reinvented the whole genre and helped make it the big business it is, and helped, and also it came with the rise of syndication and the rise of the internet. So, it made it possible to have these mega stars that are on like every station in the country, and have, followings of like 20 million people listening to every show, almost like TV level ratings on the radio. But there are some dudes that I'm not going to name any names because I have respect for these people as, as pioneers. But there are a few people going back to the 70s who are still on radio on like one or two channels, one or two stations, or they're on like, one station and then they're syndicated streaming on the internet. And I've listened to them because they're, people I'm interested in. And some of them, I'm like, if I were their family members or their spouse or their producer, I'd be like, hey, man, I think it's time for your gold watch, man. This is embarrassing. I mean, there are people that are doing radio daily that sound really doddering and disconnected and disjointed. And like, it's kind of the inertia effect. Like if somebody's a pioneer in something, they have name recognition and people know they can, show up at the same place at the same time and talk into a microphone with sentences in order. But you really kind of need a snappy brain to do it. And I can even feel it slip a little bit with me, but I'm a few years behind you, Ben. So, but I'm also, that is literally one reason I'm working hard to train these 12 other co-hosts to do a complete show on their own. And that's one reason we created Fiend Phone, is so they can do the show without me, without needing a comrec, so they can connect, two of them connect without me directly to the network. So we're trying to make this open source and distribute Freedom Fiends and make it work. And it's kind of like, it doesn't really matter who the host is, as long as they've done the show with me a bunch. Like, Nima Vedati's not even on the show anymore, and he helped kind of make the template for it. It's kind of how, like, you can watch any episode of Law & Order, whether it's, Special Victims Unit or the one in L.A. or the one, whatever one that, like, they have, like, five different shows running at once. Or CSI. Like, you can watch any show, the Miami, the New York, the Vegas, and it's like, it all kind of has a little bit of the same feel. Like, it's the same show. That's how The Fiends is, no matter who's doing it, because Nima Vedati and I built this template with a lot of input from you, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. And, you were kind of very influential on both of us. The main thing you influenced me on early on was completely getting away from the idea of, like, violence, a violent revolution is the answer. Like, you killed that for me. You did it on a moral standpoint, but also on a, it won't work. They have drones,
Yeah, we've gone beyond the point of where, technically a revolution, all it ever does is just take out one set of goons and put in another set of goons. So it doesn't work on a practical basis. But in trying to take up arms against something like a federal government, like the one we have in the U.S. or in any other major developed country.
Or even a state government. There's no group of backwoods Johnnies practicing war games, and I have nothing against those guys. It's, I like guns, it's all good, but there's no group of those guys that could go up against their state National Guard. Even if like every guy with a with a deer rifle showed up, the state would always win because they can steal unlimited money and they have drones and they have satellites and they can spy on you all the time, and people will fight for the state, man, because they love the state. But go on.
Yeah, think about what happened in Waco, and that was in the mid-90s. And this was a group of people who were fanatically dedicated to their group and to their religion and to their leader, and they were heavily armed, and they were able to somewhat defend themselves momentarily. But when the government got tired of it, they just slapped them down. And that's what happened at Ruby Ridge. That's what happens at hundreds of Ruby Ridges all across the nation all the time.
Yeah.
You just can't do it anymore. It's gone beyond that. We have to, if we want change to happen, we have to look to ourselves and we have to look to our neighbors. And that's where we have to bring change in.
Yeah. I think Bitcoin is the most revolutionary thing that's happened in recent memory, because it's basically someone created a parallel, decentralized, absolutely secure, not controlled by any government, real monetary system on their computer, and did it anonymously. Like, I don't think the government knows who Satoshi Nakamoto is, because that guy wasn't like, I'm building, he didn't have an ego. He's probably someone that, he was probably someone that, you know, wasn't out dancing on a Saturday night. He was probably in front of his computer on a Saturday night, which is what the real winners do if they're building the roads. We'll be back.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends on your radio. It's Michael Dean talking to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. We're going to talk about the second step of Alcoholics Anonymous and applying it to things other than alcohol and drugs. And we've been promising that for several segments now, but, you know, Freedom Fiends are like all tangents all the time. And I really did want to talk about Ben's brain and how it is a limited, valuable resource that we won't have forever and shouldn't take for granted. So I am trying to get as many hundreds of episodes of him recorded as I can, and because I respect Ben's brain. So Ben's brain, read the second step of Alcoholics Anonymous yet a third time, and we will actually discuss it for a couple segments this time. Go ahead.
We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Yeah. I talked a little bit about how people have a problem with this if they have a problem with God or religion because they think it means they have to become religious. It does not. All it really basically means is you weren't able to solve this problem on your own. You should be willing to take advice from someone who's been on the road you're trying to travel on, rather than trying to do everything yourself and grip the wheel navigating in life and be like, I'm white knuckling it. I can do it myself. You know, you fix, they say in AA or NA that, you know, we changed people, places, and things, but nothing changed. Something like that. And I always said it was like, yeah, we changed nouns and nothing changed. But, you know, you do need to change, you know, the people you hang out with to get off drugs. I mean, you don't want to go hang out at the dope house and do crossword puzzles and try not to do dope. You don't want to sit in a bar and try not to drink. You don't want to hang out with someone who's still doing that stuff. And the same thing's true of statism. The same thing's true of bad ideas and bad people, but it's not the whole thing. You know, the nouns aren't the problem. I mean, that's the thing I've come to the conclusion, like hammering away at that guy from Canada, the kind of culty, video
philosopher King,
so-called philosopher. Yeah. Like it's just driven me like bonkers that, you know, I and others have like exposed all the lies of this guy. And now he's even exposing his own lies and just saying like, oh, this date is great. But people still worship him. And I realized, like, I went back to the ideas of AA and I realized, like, alcohol's not the problem. Alcoholism is the problem. Like, alcohol doesn't need to be wiped from the face of the earth. I think alcohol should be perfectly legal and available. But people who are alcoholics can't drink even just one. And the same thing with like someone like, you know, that philosopher is like, you know, you got to stop cold turkey and then you got to get recovery and you got to get away from it. Anything that's a bad thing in your life, you know, once you realize it and then you take the second step, you're willing to accept, you know, guidance from things outside yourself and from people who've been where you're going, you know, it doesn't just stop immediately, and you have to be willing to do some work on it. And so the basic thing is, like, it's not driving me buggy anymore that people worship that guy, because the problem isn't that guy. Like, that guy could give a YouTube press conference tomorrow and say, ha ha, I never believed anything I said. And I just, you know, and I was just duping you for your money. And I don't believe in peaceful parenting. And then he could, like, you know, beat a baby to death with a cat. And some of his followers would still like him. Like, the problem isn't him. The problem is this thing that people have in themselves of needing a leader and needing bad ideas in their life. You know, that's what I think.
You know, it's kind of like what Bill Buford has said, that it's not the rules, it's the people choosing to be obedient to those rules. It's not the leaders, it's the people choosing obedience.
Yeah, and the way he says that is, don't question, you know, question authority is, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, question authority isn't enough, question obedience.
You know, the thing about using a higher power, one way, I don't know, you tell me if this makes sense, one way to think of it might be, you've got a flat tire. Okay. You know, you've got a flat tire. You can't drive down the freeway with a flat tire. It's just not going to work. You're just either going to catch fire or it's going to destroy something or whatever. So you have to do something about it. So now what are you going to do? Well, you can't go out and lift the side of the car on your own. It just can't be done. So you need a jack, and you don't have to believe in God. If you do, that's great. That's a great jack. You can use that as the jack. But even if you don't believe in God, you got to find a jack to lift the car, because you can't lift it on your own.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with finding that jack. It's in utilizing that jack is the only way to get that car jacked up so that you can change the tire.
Yeah, and that's what the Freedom Fiends do, is we jack you up so you can change the tires on your bad ideas. I'm feeling jacked up, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Ben. Jacking you up with liberty since 2011.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit more after this break about the second step and being willing to accept help from outside yourself. Worms. Not trying to drive yourself everywhere without help from those who've gone where you're going.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends. Tasing you with liberty. Hey, Ben, you ever watch The Simpsons?
I used to all the time.
Yeah, there's a Simpsons where little Lisa is convinced that she's going to lose her brain power, and she's really smart and likes her brain, and turns out that it's something that only affects the males in the Simpson family. But she's convinced she's losing her brain function and will be stupid soon, so she, doddering and babbling, so she goes down to the local TV station and says, I want to get on the air and tell people something. And they're like, well, we can't just let you on the air. You have to be responding to, you know, something. And she's like, oh, I'm against proposition. And she looks at the time and she goes, 3:16. And he says, you're against discount bus passes for war widows. And she says, to get on the air. She's like, yeah, you bet I am. And she gets on and gives this like stirring and rambling poetic essay on the spot about how you should relish your brain and do as much as you can with it. And the guy, when she's done, the guy's like, all right, little girl likes her brain. And in other news, that's you, Ben. That's me praising your brain. I'm little Lisa, and your brain is the one I'm praising. So we're going to talk about the Second Amendment of AA, the Constitution of AA, the 12 steps of AA. Once more, please read the second step of Alcoholics Anonymous and then apply it with some mad science to other areas of our lives.
We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that, you know, if you just think about it for a second, you're going through life and whatever it is, whatever the monkey is that's on your back, and it can be a physical addiction to a substance, or it can be dependence upon the government, and thinking that, you know, there's just no way that these things could happen without the government. I couldn't exist without it. We wouldn't be free without it. We wouldn't be safe without it. We wouldn't have roads without the government, or whatever it is that sticks in your mind that addicts you to that makes that addiction to that thing, or it can be relationships or whatever. You know, we've talked about all these different possibilities, but to come to the point of where you realize that something is not right in this equation, and just to continue to do the same things over and over and over, expecting a different result, is madness. And we have to figure out a different way to approach this, and we have to figure out a different way to view it and to look at it and to see it from a different set of eyes. And so often it's difficult to do that. It's difficult to see something through a different set of eyes when we only have the set of eyes that's in our head. That's all we have. That's all that's, you know, by ourselves, that's all we have. And in those cases, it's really important to have somebody else that you can bump things across and you can be honest with and know that they'll be honest back with you.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, it's really hard. Now, and some people can depend on God for that. But like you were saying, Michael, you know, this is not necessarily a religious thing. You don't have to have religion in order to take these steps and apply them to your life. You can find a person, a friend or a person who has already overcome this problem in their own life, and they can be that anchor that you can rely on. Or, you know, reading up on things and learning and understanding. The internet is so vast now, and it's not just wild, crazy stuff that you can't believe. If you're careful about where you go and what you read and verify that sources are there to back it up, it's not that hard to find really good, solid information on the internet to help you out of almost anything that you're facing. So in a sense, the internet could be that higher power because it has a power that...
It's the group conscience of a bunch of other people. And you got to take it with a grain of salt. And here's the thing that I learned in AA that's applicable to everything in life. Well, other than most of what I learned in AA, but don't ask people for advice. Ask them for experience, strength, and hope. And then kind of ask more than one. And ask people who've been where you're going. Like if you're in a long-term relationship, you know, of years, or you're trying to keep one going for a long time, you know, basically married, whether there's a government piece of paper or not, and you're having trouble in that, don't go to your friend that's a playboy and sleeping with a lot of different women. Don't ask him. If you want to ask the guy you know who's been happily married for 30 years. And then ask two other people who've been happily married for 30 years. And then ask a guy who's divorced and miserable what he did wrong. And then make a decision. Don't take advice from any of them. You know, it's better to say, like, what would you do in my situation? Or what have you done in a similar situation? Rather than... you know, like, tell me what to do, and ask more than one person and kind of weigh them off each other. And you're much more likely to find something that'll work in your life. You know, like, ask people who've been where you want to be. Ask more than one of them. Ask three of those people, and then ask someone who tried to do what you did and failed, and ask them what they did. And then kind of write it all down and look at it and meditate on it for a couple days. Like, some people pray on it, some people meditate on it, but don't make... You know, they say a lot of the steps in AA, they're not, you know, we made amends immediately. They say made amends promptly. There's a lot of the word promptly in AA, which means don't put it off forever, but also don't do it rashly right now. Like, sleep on it, you know?
That's real good advice on a lot of things, a major purchase or, you know, any kind of major life change that you're facing.
I see it with my purchases of computer gear and audio gear all the time. People go, I'm going to start a podcast. And they go online and they buy, oh, this microphone looks cool. And there's people saying it was good. And like, no, why don't you ask somebody that's been doing a podcast for a while, you know, who's probably bought 10 different mics, including that one, and found the one that's cheaper and better, you know?
Yeah. And actually, since we're talking about that, we can give a shout out for another project that you've had long time going. That is Creamy Radio Audio.
Yeah. Get back to the point. We can talk about me later. We talked about me for the whole first hour and my problem. So, yeah, let's. I like your solutions, Ben. Thank you.
Well, let's get back to this. Let me read this one more time so it kind of gets us back in the mood. Plus, you know, a lot of people listening on the radio may have just tuned in, so they don't know what we're talking about. This is the second step in a 12-step program, and we are, it goes, we came to believe that a great, let me try that again. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And one of the things that you'll face when it feels like your life has fallen apart, or when it feels like things around you are failing, or sometimes it's even you feel like other people are failing you, it kind of feels like insanity has overcome your situation, or it feels like insanity has invaded your life from every direction. And, you know, to seek that higher power, again, whatever that might be in your life, to seek that in an honest way, looking towards what am I going to have to do? What am I going to have to change? Realistically, what can I change? What can't I change on my own? Then what am I going to need help to overcome? And being honest with yourself in these things is absolutely a necessity in order to really get to the heart of the problem and face what it is that's going to allow you to restore that level of sanity.
Absolutely. Preach it, brother.
And really, you know, we're talking about higher power for me. And this is a real good contrast between Michael and myself, because I actually am a theist. I believe in a
I'm
higher
a theist.
Power.
Oh, wait. I'm a theist. I believe in higher power, but I am a deist, which basically means I believe in a higher power that created the universe and then kind of went away. I believe it does not answer my prayers and does not intervene in a day-to-day life. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. You're a Quaker, which is a special type of theist. So there, I just had to correct you on that.
And there are Quakers who are deists, and there are Quakers who are, true hardcore Christians who believe every word of the Bible, and there are every variation.
Quakers
of that.
Is kind of the, you can be whatever kind of Quaker you want to be religion. It's one of those.
Oh, yeah, to a certain extent, because no one Quaker has the authority to tell the others, you know, what they are or are not supposed to believe. So
it's open source religion.
It is. And we can kind of check on each other. And, you know, Paul in the Bible, Paul said this. He said, hear all things and then cling to that which is best. And that kind of applies to what you were talking about a minute ago.
Absolutely.
With getting advice from solid people and then looking through it and saying, you know what? This seems right to me, and this, I think, applies to my life, and I think this can help me. And it's really all about trying to get to that moment again to where we can feel that sanity is restored to our lives.
Yeah, and the use of the word sanity in AA, and this is explained in the book 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, which the AA book was written in the 30s, the 12 and 12 was written in the 50s, and they didn't even really have the 12 steps in the 30s. They kind of had like a 4-point plan that was adopted from something called the Washingtonian Group, which was a kind of first century Christianity businessman's group of like, you know, one man speaking to another like the apostles rather than in a big church. You know, you go out and help bums get sober and things like that. And like this guy got sober who started it, Bill W., got sober in the Washingtonians and then like took their kind of 4 steps and expanded them into 12 steps, basically broke a bunch of them up into 2 or 3 steps to make them easier to swallow from, you know, resistant drunks who thought they knew how to run their lives, but were living in a gutter. And then added, you know, making amends, and then added taking it to others, like, you know, the 12 steps. He basically took their program and expanded it into 12 points only for, you know, substance abuse or alcohol at the time. But it's been expanded into, there's like 50 or so 12-step organizations. And I guess what we're doing right now is we're on the air. We're starting Status Anonymous. So this is step 2 of Status Anonymous and Bad Ideas Anonymous. So,
Yeah, and the state really is a bad idea. It is something that is highly addictive. It's something that we adopt without realizing it. Oftentimes, you know, I think this was even in a government-sponsored anti-drug campaign back in the 80s or something. They said something like, well, no little girl, they showed this little girl dancing around like a ballerina. It says, no little girl wants to grow up and be a crackhead or whatever.
A prostitute.
And there's actually... Yeah. Yeah. There's actually some truth to that. You know, your typical addict and whatever they're addicted to, they don't want to grow up to be that. It comes on very slowly, or it comes on through channels that they're not expecting. And that's how dependence upon the state comes into our mind. We don't start out thinking, you know, oh, the government is great. It'll solve all my problems. But eventually, that worms its way into your brain to where you're accepting it as a part of your everyday life without even thinking about it. It's just a natural part of your thinking.
Nobody wants to grow up and murder people and be a slave.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people do that for the state.
And that's what the government is. The government is a monopoly of aggression within a geographical area. And that's what we want to break out of. We want to restore sanity and get away from that.
Worms. We'll be back for the redemption in the third act, as if that wasn't it right there.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
On your radio. Don't touch that dial. You've got fiends on it. This is Michael Dean talking to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, about step two in Status Anonymous. Read the step one more time, Ben.
We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Yep. And, you know, I have noticed, I've been to a Quaker meeting, which is, you know, a Quaker religious service, way before I went to AA. And I think that AA meetings, somewhere along the line, I've never heard this, but I think they got influenced by Quakerism, and AA is kind of an open source thing. Anybody can start a meeting. You know, there's suggestions, but there's not really rules. And each meeting can be, you know, you could have a naked meeting if you wanted. You could have a filthy communist meeting. You probably wouldn't stay sober in either, but, you know, you can do whatever you want. There's no, like, there is a central world center, but they basically just publish the books. They don't really have the power to, like, censure a certain group. So you can have whatever crazy kind of group you have. And it's kind of like Quakerism, where, like, you sit in a room and, you know, you stand up when you're moved and you speak and then you sit down. Like, there's no leader, or the leaders rotate, and nobody has authority over everyone, like anyone. Like, you know, the guy coming in the door, if he has a desire to stay sober, he basically has as much power as anybody in the rest of the room. Although the power is basically the market. People, you know, people a lot of times sober aren't going to listen to the suggestions of the guy who's only got one day sober on how they need to change everything. So go ahead, Ben, take it. Bring us home on the second step of Status Anonymous.
So trying to break away from the mentality of the state, and I for some of the older listeners that have listened to the Freedom Fiends for a while and that maybe have listened to me talking on the Bad Quaker podcast, you know, there's this clumsy thing in the English language where we sort of confuse the word state and the word government with each other. And there's very little distinguishing, there's very little to distinguish the two in normal everyday today talk. So I kind of came up with this idea that if I think of the government as the people and the police cars and the tanks and the jet airplanes and the monuments and, you know, the fancy offices and their robes and all the stuff like that, if I think of all that as the government, and then I think of the state as that thing that's in your mind that makes you believe that all of that stuff is legitimate and it's anything other than a gang of robbers and thieves, then we have two different things to think of. We have the government that we have to deal with one way or the other, because we just simply don't have the capability to take it on and do anything serious with it. We can't change it by getting involved in it. We can't, you know, our vote really doesn't mean anything. But what can we have an influence in? What is available for us to do something about? And that is the state being that condition in our mind that allows us to believe that all that government stuff is legitimate. And one of the many aspects of this is to realize that there's nothing magical about government. It's just people doing stuff. And if they weren't the government, if there's a demand for somebody to do something, whether that's providing protection or building roads or, you know, controlling the air traffic in the skies of America or whatever it is that you think that we have to have government for. If there's a demand for it, then there's going to be a motive for somebody to make money off of making it happen. And so one piece at a time like this, we can eliminate that belief in the state. We can eliminate the myth in our mind. And one of the foundational things in that we talk about quite a bit, and you hear this a lot about around libertarians, is this non-aggression principle, or I like to call it the zero-aggression principle. But to Christians, it's more familiar if you think about it as the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And that's what Jesus taught. And that's what this non-aggression principle really is kind of like. We don't initiate aggression on anyone. You don't have the right to initiate aggression on anyone. And that includes if a group of you get together and have a vote or an election and elect a leader to do it, you still don't have the right to initiate aggression on anyone. And this is one of those greater powers, one of those strong, a thing that's stronger than the individual that can make that individual strong. And that's what we look to, one of the things we look to help us restore our sanity. Excellent. And Barack Obama is a socialist and a liar, and his feet stink.
Yep. We forgot to say that earlier, but it's very true. Thank you, Ben Stone, for sharing your big juicy brain with us while you still can.
Thank you, Michael.
I hope we can do this for many more episodes.
I hope so.
And
worms.
Next time we'll have step 3 of Status Anonymous. Worms.